bodily urges and places, there are also mental enemies. That is the constant demand of the mind. Nag, 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 nag. Anger, the six enemies, the ten offenses, these are all basically mental enemies. There is a, and very important is pride. It is said, even if one can give up all material desires, the desire for fame is very difficult to give up. This desire for fame, which is compared to a stool, is the root cause of all anattas. Therefore, one should carefully avoid touching the stool in the form of desire for fame. This is Hari Bhakti Vilas. You can have given up everything, Daniel. Even your guitar. If you have one. But you can go on, go in a saffron dress of the ascetic monk, but the desire for fame is so difficult to give up. It is compared to stool and should not, because it is the root cause of all anattas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very intense in giving up the unfavorable things. For instance, for a sannyasi, intimate association with the opposite gender is not favorable. And once Mahaprabhu heard a beautiful singer, Odissi singer, in the temple of Jagannath, praising the Lord Jagannath. And he was in his consciousness of ecstatic love of Godhead. He saw this and he ran towards the temple to embrace the singer in order to thank profusely for this devotional song. The last moment, Govindadas, he called towards him, "It's a woman, Mahaprabhu, it's a woman." Mahaprabhu had almost embraced this very most, this most beautiful singer, and had created a scandal for the sannyas ashram. And he said to Govinda, "You saved my life." Hare Krishna. But let us not talk about the small things, the big thing which is unfavorable. And my dear devotee, it has caused the life of many of our brothers and sisters in the devotional community is criticism of Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified once this. He went once with Srivas Pandit in the Ganga, and he saw the cows and the cowherd boys, and he was very pleased, and he was reminded of Vrindavan. All of a sudden they passed by the ashram, not all of a sudden, gradually they passed by the ashram of Devananda Pandit, the famous explainer of the Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu, from one moment to the next, came totally out of this pleased mood, and he said, he became angry like the lion. Devananda Pandit! He ran into the ashram, he took the Bhagavatam and shred it into pieces. You have no right to explain the Bhagavatam. You cannot understand the nature of the Bhagavatam and drink the Bhakti Rasa. Devananda, who was one of the greatest scholars of Navadvipa, was flabbergasted. He went into another room and cried and became very sad. The speaker obviously has the attention of his audience. We can hear the clock ticking away. This anger of Mahaprabhu had a reason. Let me tell you the reason. Before Mahaprabhu had appeared, Shivas Thakur had once come to the house of the ashram of Devananda Pandit and sat down to listen to the Bhagavatam discourse. As Devananda Pandit explained the Bhagavatam, Shivas Thakur fell in ecstasy and he fell down. Devananda's students, however, thought this to be an impolite interruption. Imagine Bhakta Brahm would fall down, crash, and make a loud noise, and and we would think, Bhakta Brahm, this is too much. You have really eaten too much sweets today. And we so in this way, the students carried Shivas Thakur out of the ashram and laid him on the side near the ditch. Shivas Thakur came out of his trance and left feeling sad and hurt. A little later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into the house of a Brahmana. And the Brahmana asked him a question. What should one do if one has criticized a Vaishnav? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained. When a person drinks Amrita, his body becomes nourished. But if he drinks poison, his body becomes eaten away by the poison every day. In the same way, if someone criticizes Vaishnavas, every day the poison of Vaishnav Ninda eats away from his heart. Then he gave the solution. My dear Brahmana, the same tongue which has offended Vaishnavas, and in this way drunken the most deadly poison, by the same tongue we should drink the Amrita and praise the Vaishnavas. This is the only solution. Mahaprabhu said like this. He waited. Devananda Pandit felt very sad. After all, Nimai Pandit, the greatest scholar, had told him he was incapable of explaining the Bhagavatam, and he had been so upset with him. Now, later, it happened that the great devotee Brakeshwara Pandit came by. This morning we have heard something of Brakeshwara Pandit from the nice explanations of Prahladananda Maharaj. He was so dear to Mahaprabhu that Mahaprabhu said if he could have a second wing like Brakeshwara Pandit, he could fly. So Brakeshwara Pandit came to near the ashram and started his kirtan. It was a prema kirtan because he was an associate of Mahaprabhu, and he became very, very ecstatic. He began to dance, and tears began flowing from his eyes like Mother Ganga. Devananda Pandit came out of the ashram, saw this Vaishnava, thought, "Let me serve him." And he was helping Vakeshvara Pandit in the Kirtan by keeping the crowd which was coming closer to touch Vakeshvara Pandit, keeping them a little in the distance so that Vakeshvara Pandit could dance properly. When Vakeshvara Pandit, after chanting and dancing, felt tired, he massaged his legs, Devananda Pandit. So when Mahaprabhu understood this by his being the super soul in all beings, he became satisfied with Vakeshvara, with Devananda Pandit, and forgave him and blessed him to actually read the Bhagavatam with understanding. It's not so easy to read the Bhagavatam with understanding because you would have to be able to understand the juice of the Bhagavatam, that is bhakti and nothing else. So Mahaprabhu, by this lila, has told us that the very difficult thing to give up, reject the unfavorable, means to reject Vaishnava aparad, Hare Krishna. Yes. Okay. So I've come to the end of this presentation, but there is one question by our Krishna Das Kaviraj Prabhu, and I think this question is very extremely valuable for our discussion. Krishna Das Kaviraj Prabhu has asked us what to do when you are living in the outside world and you have so much association with non-devotional elements. I think this question is very relevant also for all of us, because many of you will become, or several of you might become preachers and spread Krishna consciousness. I know that Jai Govinda Prabhu has a wonderful project in mind where he wants to train the congregation in Prabhupada Desh, that is what I've heard, and there will be several newcomers who also have unusual habits or whatever, and Bhakta Brahm might go out on Sankirtan, and others. I do not really know what all of you will do, but I think some of you contemplate projects of preaching and so on and so forth. Krishna Das Kaviraj Prabhu, I have more to do with non-devotees than devotees by my service. I always wondered what is about this point until I met or came upon a very helpful explanation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says there is nothing wrong for a preacher or for a Vaishnava to interact with non-devotees as long as there is no affection. The moment the affection starts, that moment you become influenced. I would also say affection, or what I've also seen, repulsion. It's in our philosophy similar things. If there are emotional feelings involved, then the influence starts. This is very, very important for a preacher who preaches to different people and who has to see that he does not become attached or repulsed by the people to whom he preaches. Attached is most the thing. He has to really see the benefit of the people as his first and foremost consideration. It's not so easy, especially if you have a thin skin, and people tend to come so very close. So you should not, as a preacher, become attached, nor repulsed by them, because then the people start to influence you. Bhakta Brahm. I had a very, very intense discussion just 1 week ago when one mother read this. Where is it, please? I remember also this. Can you please help me? Six. And I consider as strangers all my own relatives, all family members, who are averse to devotional service. What I told the mother is that, this song is written on a level, on one level, but there are instructions also on other levels. The song is written on the level of exclusive devotion to Krishna. It's almost like, but there is also another level. The other level is to be, to not, which we are instructed, we should not be, do ahimsa, we should not hurt any living entities, what to speak of fathers and mothers and so on. And I wanted to give an example to make this mother understand. See, on one level, the boy might tell to the girl, I love you so much, I love you much more than my mother. I'm prepared to give up my mother for you. This happens in loving talk. I think it happens. But when he comes to see his mother, he's polite and nice to the mother. Only in that situation of exclusive loving statements which are done when the boy and the girl are together and maybe plan their future together and so on, such statements stand. But in other context, the social context, they don't stand. In the same way, a devotee has to have two levels intact. One is his constitutional level, that is the relationship with Krishna, but he must also act responsibly on the level of it's called loka vichar, or when he is in the world. So often we have interchanged these two platforms, we have mixed them up and have created problems for us. Dharma and Sanatana Dharma must both be there. The dharmic level, you love, you are respectful to all living entities and obviously to your parents. On the Sanatana level, you are practicing Ekanti Bhakti, exclusive bhakti directed to Krishna. That's what I explained to the mother, but she didn't understand. Hare Krishna. So I will try again. I have told the devotee daughter to be extremely kind to the mother, because it's a very important rule. We devotees, like all members of spiritual movements, suffer sometimes from what is called premature transcendentalism. Prabhupada was, there are many examples of Prabhupada where he really behaved like a perfect gentleman by greeting the people, good morning, sir, and so on. But of course, in other contexts, Prabhupada would say all the non-devotees are asses, camels, rogues, and so on. He was not, whoever does not surrender to Krishna, he's a miscreant. And he would have clubs with spikes in his hand when he would condemn materialism But again, I want to say, in his practical dealings, he acted like a perfect gentleman. There are two levels. And the level which which people often object is this exclusive bhakti, because they don't, they can't imagine what it means to be just mad in love for Krishna. Then you turn to, you know. It's not so difficult to understand this reaction, I think, because haven't you noticed when you come to Krishna consciousness, then the friends, previous friends who still talk about records, fashions, the best skateboards, what did your friends talk about? Rock and roll bands. Yeah. It is very painful for you. Oh, can't we talk about something else? It's so boring. But you obviously don't say it, but you feel like this. They don't talk about my Krishna. It's so, so boring. So we can feel this, but we should act very, very on these two levels, especially we neophytes. But also, not especially we neophytes. Everyone must be a perfect gentleman and a perfect lady. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. So we have now reached exactly 6:30. We are so proud that we end on time. I want to thank you very much. Tomorrow is our best day. We will hear what is favorable for the development of our Krishna consciousness. And then have the afternoon free for an exciting second part of the Japa workshop. We had already the first part, now we will have the second part. We had it last time. So may I request some of you, if you still have a question and you would like to ask it, and in this way enrichen our evening, please bring your question in the question box. Yeah? It's the most blissful point, really. It is called Anukulyasya Sankalpa, and means acceptance of the favorable. Gaurahari, would you please open the window for a moment? Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines accepting that which is favorable. He says, it means that which is favorable for developing one's devotion to Krishna. In other words, if you really want to decide, is this favorable, you must ask the question, does it raise my devotion for Krishna? Not anything else. Not does this help me to maybe have a higher position or to have a higher initiation, maybe a Brahmin initiation. What do you think is the one devotional practice which helps your devotion to Krishna, which you should accept? This is an interesting question. Please say one devotional practice. Are we studying the nectar of devotion in the Bhaktivedanta College? In Bhakti Shastri. So those who are in the Bhakti Shastri will know the answer very easy. Can I have a quick show of hands, please? What is favorable for increasing our devotion? That one thing. What would you say? It's a good question, isn't it? Yes? Enthusiasm.
remembrance of Krishna.
Confidence.
The Rupa Goswami says, Smatavya satatam Vishnu vismatavyo najatu chet. That is to always remember Krishna, never forget him. This is so important. If you can somehow write this on a piece of paper and always look at it every day, then you might get this going. And whatever we do is really only done to help us reach this point. It's amazing, isn't it? I must tell you very honestly, since I have lectured about this so many times, now I think I must I take this very serious, and I try to think of Krishna throughout the day. It's very good. Yeah. Now this is the main principle, but there are six other principles which help us to get there, and I think we all know what they are. One of you has already stated the first of the six principles. Utsahan, can we please try to get them together? Enthusiasm, what is another? Nishayat means? No. Perseverance, huh? Is the English word perseverance? Endeavoring with confidence, it says here. And the third is being patient. The fourth is acting to regulative principles. The fifth is abandoning the association of non-devotees. And the sixth is following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. It's very interesting. Prabhupada once wrote about this in a very telling way. He gave a little actually it was in a lecture. I'm sorry, he did not write about it, he spoke about it. He outlined really what he, as the founder of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, had done to ensure that his devotees would come to the level of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to remember Krishna and not forget him. And please listen to this little passage. We might give it to you in the practice sheet. Actually, we should give this in the practice sheet to the devotees. We should not withhold it from the devotees. And I found it is very inspiring, and I have this as one of my mission statements in my life. It's Prabhupada's rendition of how we can become Krishna consciousness, and you will see how closely he follows the Upadeshamrita. Please listen very attentively. Rupa Goswami has introduced this system of regulative principles, which I have taught you also. These regulative principles, such as rising before 4 a.m. for Mangal Arati, chanting 16 rounds minimum on beats daily, reading books, going for the street sankirtan, preaching to anyone and everyone, offering prasad, like that. These principles of devotional service are there to safeguard us from Maya's attack. By keeping us always enthusiastic. These are the sources and the maintenance of our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. We will write this down for you. Bhakta Rabin is doing this excellent service of preparing these practice sheets. And so on. I really think there is a lot of things in it. He says, rising before 4 a.m. Prabhupada was so strong about this principle. He said, if for 11 years, 11 or 14 years, Shruti Kirti writes about it, you are coming to every Mangal Arati, everything which you will say will be the truth. It's a blessing. These are very powerful spiritual activities, to greet the Lord the first thing in the morning. Sorry. But I mean, if you do this, then now we are at 10 o'clock, you know, we live already for 8 hours. Is it 8 hours? No. 4 o'clock? 6 hours. 6.5 hours. So really, you've been a lot of time. So, this helps you to remember Krishna. I want to make a point here. Please, my dear devotees, be very sure that you are applying these principles with the right goal in mind. What you want to do is you want to come to the platform where you remember Krishna and not forget them. I sometimes have the feeling that because it's in the early morning hour, we really don't think very deeply when we go to these programs. I have seen devotees, I will not tell their names, who were fast asleep as they were singing the Sangsara Dhavana Kirtan. And once I had such a devotee, I touched him on the arm, and he woke up, and he almost crashed down because he was thinking he was still in bed. You know, his muscles were also thinking this. When the deity curtains go up, it shouldn't be a physical exercise to bow down. You should say, "My dear Lord, another day has started where I will see you, where I'm seeing you on the altar. Please accept my service of the day." You should really be there and relate to Krishna. This is very important. When you once I read a very nice little book by His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj, who described some of his meditations during the Mangal Arati. And he was really reflecting about each of the verses which were sung. And the whole morning program he went through like this, sharing with his readers also his thoughts during the Tulsi Puja. Do you know what you are praying during Tulsi Puja? I must admit to you, I had forgotten until I came to Radha Desh, and one morning you read out the translation of the song. First I was a little, I must admit, because I'm always going to bed so late, I was a little tired. And I heard it, half heard it, and thought, oops, someone is preaching about Raganuga Bhakti? But I thought this is not, we don't talk about this in public. You know, please make me a maid servant. Oops, this is Manjari Seva, Manjari Baba. Oops, grant me a place in Vrindavan. Oops, I immediately, it's really in the song, I immediately took the sheet of paper from one devotee. There it was. Very high meditations. I thought, thought, I'm not qualified for this. I have to really endeavor to at least reverently touch these concepts and so on. We are supposed to think about these things because, remember, it's not an activity sheet to pass our time, the morning program, but all the rules and regulations which we do, including getting up so early at such an inhuman time, is for remembering Krishna and not forgetting him. This is very important. And we take help of the Brahma Muhurta, because the Brahma Muhurta hour, whatever you do in that hour, will be much stronger due to the cosmic influence at that time. It's a very good time for spiritual practices. It's a very highly potent time. Just one word for those who have studied Ayurveda and yoga. It is said that each spiritual practice, after 1 hour, the body will become tired. Have you noticed when you sit down and chant, after some time, you become tired? This doesn't necessarily mean it's time for you to take your second rest. It can mean to just get up, to breathe a little, and to get the circulation going, because it's natural for the body to be to get tired at this time. Apparently, this is from the Yoga Sutras. So we will write on the practice sheet, after we have mentioned the six principles, Rabban, from Upadeshamrita text 3, we will mention, go consciously through the morning program. This is very favorable for awakening Krishna consciousness. Now there is another important principle for you to develop your Krishna consciousness, which is so important that Lord Krishna mentions this principle in his famous Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. This is the Bhagavatam in 4 shlokas. It's so important, this principle, that out of 3 most important shlokas, one is about this principle. It is a principle which is stated in the Bhagavatam 2:9:36. It says, Etava deva yigyasyam tatva yigyasunatmana anvaya vyatirekapyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Once I asked a young schoolgirl, how do you make it that you can go to school? Because I remember I was so entirely bored at school that I could only sleep during the classes. And so I was naturally interested in the schoolgirl's response, who was a good pupil. And she said, somehow or other, I always manage to remain interested in the subjects. And then that's how I can learn the subjects and study them. I really think this verse tells the deep underlying talks of a deeper principle which is a little bit in this direction to be found. You must remain interested. That is, you must earnestly search for Krishna consciousness in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Do you know what it means to search for Krishna directly? Do you mean know what it could mean to search for him indirectly? Here's the answer. Directly is you hear about Krishna like he's described in Nectar of Devotion and the Krishna book. And indirectly means you search for the obstacles which are there on your path to Krishna. Sometimes our Hare Krishna movement has become accused by other Gaudiya preachers that, oh, you Hare Krishna devotees, you ISKCON devotees, you don't always talk from morning till evening about Rasa Katha, Krishna Katha, and so on. You talk so much about attachments and anattas and so on. But certainly it is important to talk about Lord Krishna. That is stated in this verse. We must search for him directly. But it's also very important to talk about the obstacles which lie on the way. And such discussions should be understood as indirect talk about Krishna, because we are talking what is in the way, what is between us and the Lord. Mm-hmm. So always let us remain interested in the goal of Krishna consciousness, and let us not fall asleep in our interest. To search always also means, and now I'm coming to another favorable aspect, these are all favorable aspects, to learn to see the hand of the Lord behind everything. There's a very famous verse about this. I want to quote to you. It comes in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 8. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ritvak vapurbir vidadhanamaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayabhag. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. You might say, well, how is this related to the point you just made? It is like this. Whatever you experience in your life is a reaction of your past activities, which is administered by Lord Krishna at the proper time and with a purpose for you. Prabhupada has commented this verse and said that instead of giving the full karmic reaction, Krishna gives a token gift, a token reaction. Token means a present. When I give a present, it's usually at the right time. Someone has birthday, and it is with the right purpose. At this moment, I'm buying several copies of Brihad Bhagavatamrita to give to certain devotees who have already finished the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now the second is out, and I will give them a present, either, at a meaningful date I will give it, maybe an Ekadasi, and I will give the present with some word of encouragement that please take this present, it will induce you to think more about going back home, back to Godhead in your life. So a token reaction means a present. Krishna gives us, when we need it at the proper time, parts of our reaction. So there are two factors in whatever happens. One is, it's a reaction to your own activities. That means you are responsible. And the second is, Krishna gives it to you. See, Krishna usually takes the karma away from his devotees, but then he gives the karma as Krishna karma back at the certain time so that the devotee can learn. This is our understanding of this verse. I'm sorry, I have given a 3-day seminar on this verse alone, but it would be nice to give it here also, but just now I will only summarize it. Devotee, when something happens to him, knows, oh, I deserve much more. Thank you for giving it to me. And usually he knows it is at the proper time. Yes. I think it is so important in devotional service to understand this verse. I see so many devotees suffering in their spiritual lives because they do not take responsibility on their own for their activities. They do not understand that they have caused about this. A very typical manifestation of this insecurity and immaturity in our movement is that devotees think ISKCON is at fault for all their miseries. Have you noticed this? They did this, they said this, they were, and my past, and the temple commander, and the temple authority, and so on. If devotees continue to feel like this, they will never be able to grow. They will just stay in the victim role until their last moments in this body. We are all shaping our lives in the sense that we are responsible, that we do certain things and have certain mentalities behind it, and therefore we shape our reality. Otherwise, how could it be that Yadunandan is so happy and I'm so miserable? We live in the same temple, in the same movement, but Yadunandan is happy and I'm so miserable. It can't be that the movement is responsible, because the movement is the same for both of us. What is there is, or we live in the same movement. What is there is Yadunandan is acting differently than I act, and thinking differently than I think. Mm-hmm. So, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past deeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Another important principle, I will soon make a pause, is the Yukta Vairagya principle, to accept everything which is favorable for Krishna consciousness. I'm very sorry that I can't give a certain lecture here in Radha Desh due to time restrictions. I think you all have understood that we worship. How do we worship Lord Chaitanya in this age of Kali? Any idea? The chanting. And chanting together in the Sankirtan.
Do you know that there are two meanings of the word Sankirtan? It's a very interesting point. One meaning we all know, to congregate, like we do in the morning program, and glorify the Lord during this time. And the second is taking the syllable sung in a different way, means a complete glorification, that is, using everything. I remember a wonderful lecture by Bhakti Charu Maharaj just this year in the Gopurim festival, and he explained how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mood when he carried the deities from the Ultadanga road, that was a small house, into the much bigger house which had been built in the Bhakt Bazaar. Not house, it was a temple. You know, Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the little temple which was a rented house in Ultadanga road. And then some Choki Charan Roy came forward afterwards and paid a huge marble Gaudiya Math temple in Calcutta. Has anyone seen this temple? I have not seen. Yeah. It would be interesting to see it. It must be a huge house, temple. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati carried the deity, he was in ecstasy. He composed a song. It goes like this. Ujala raga pata gaurava bange nataka sadhu jana vishaya range. He was carrying this. Ujala raga pata gaurava bange. And his disciples were following him, and he enthused them to also sing this, and they were dancing and singing this. Do you not want to know the translation of this song? It's very mystical. You have to now concentrate. Worshipping in Ragamak, the path of spontaneous devotion, transcending awe and reverence, Gaurava Bhange, the sadhus are apparently engaged in mundane enjoyment. Let me interpret this verse for you. He was saying that the devotees are worshipping Lord Krishna in spontaneous devotion, but the ordinary people think that the sadhus are engaged in mundane enjoyment. In other words, the ordinary people think, oh, they had this simple building, now they have this marble building. This is very material. But the sadhus think, no, we are using everything in the service of Krishna. Even marble and a big construction and a printing machine and all of these other items which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur engaged in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means connected detachment. You connect the world with Krishna, not with yourself. You're not enjoying it for yourself, but you connect it with Lord Krishna. And in this way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used even steamships, printing presses. He dressed his sannyasis, imagine this revolutionary movement, in suit and, what is it, tie. For instance, he would give a lecture to the Indians, and they would listen. They were young, they were very impressed by the Western ways. And then, after the lecture, there was a kirtan, And then one of these people in top suit and tie got up and danced. And the people thought, wow, he's half a sahib. Sahib means Western person. I can also dance. If he can dance, I can also dance. It's my culture. So he had many revolutionary preaching ideas. For instance, he went also in a big car to Radhakund. The car which he used was one of three cars which were driven in Calcutta. One was driven by the Viceroy, another by, I don't know, and the third by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he came like this to Radhakund, and the Babas went like, what? This is a sadhu. He must be a Vishayi. Vishayi means sense enjoyer. So the ordinary people are thinking this is mundane life, but yukta vairaga, using everything in Krishna's service, is a way how to worship Krishna. It is spontaneous devotional service. And if you think about it, it is so true. Because the whole idea of spiritual life is Krishna should enjoy everything. Not me, but Krishna. And let him enjoy, you know, for his pleasure. We will use an automobile and whatever, suit and tie. It's only for him. It's a very spontaneous mood, you know. It's really following the mood of these exalted servants of Lord Krishna who in Vrindavan. I'm thinking of the milk, when the milk, Shri Milk servant, the Shri Milk servant is boiling in the milk pot. It's a very, very, very nice. You can see how much, what is the Vrindavan mood. And Krishna calls, kwa, 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 for Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda comes and sees her little hungry Gopal and breastfeeds him. Now, Mother Yashoda's milk, which she gives to Lord Krishna, is nothing else than her liquid love for Krishna, and it is unlimited, this love. So the milk thinks, oh no, Mother Yashoda is now giving her milk to Krishna, and her milk is nothing than her unlimited love. That means Krishna will drink, and Krishna will drink so much of it, of this liquid love, that I won't be able to render service to Krishna. But then what is the meaning of my life? I will commit suicide and jump into the fire. And this is why the milk boils over. It is not a boiling over effect. It is a suicidal attempt. This is how Jiva Goswami explains the Vrindavan mood. Krishna's enjoyment first. I'm existing for Krishna's enjoyment. So the devotee who practices yukta vairagya is really thinking, oh, this is for Krishna. Of course, my dear devotees, with this concept of yukta vairagya, you must be very careful. It's really playing with fire. And many of our devotees have serious brand wounds, you know. Is it called brand wounds? Or burns on the body. If even an accidental glance towards Maya captures you and makes her a slave, if you deal so directly with the material energy, as you do, for instance, as a preacher, when you rent huge halls and have a lot of equipment and do a lot of things
to bring people to Krishna consciousness, it is dangerous. Gaurahari just bought a brand new car. We have to pray for Gaurahari that he doesn't fall into Maya. Yes, it's so fast, 260 kilometers an hour. All his desires for driving can be fulfilled. And the idea is it must be used in Krishna's service fully, not for our own sense enjoyment. You might ask yourself the question, what guarantees that if I practice Yukta Vairagya like this, that I remain in Krishna consciousness? For instance, a Mataji might buy herself the best sari in the universe. I want to do this to be nicely dressed for Lord Krishna in the arati. That is a good concept. But if you become too much in a sari consciousness, or if, you know, the dhotis, there are also, you can become attached to dhotis, this is a particular good dhoti, then there is problem. Okay. The only thing which safeguards you from Maya's various attacks is that you stay in the circle of the devotees and have the association of good devotees. This is the only way that while you are doing sankirtan in the second sense of the word, using everything for the glorification of Krishna, you don't fall into Maya. Sadhu Sangha is internal energy, if it is really done, Sadhu Sangha, association with devotees, and material energy is external energy. What is stronger, the internal or the external energy? Of course, the internal energy. Can we just see... I feel it's a little cold, Bhakta Brahm. Have you purposefully shut off the heating system?
No, I'm purposely sitting here to...
to get the heat, yeah. Is something coming? Maria, is something... The window was open. And the heating is on now? Good. We are saved. It's a nice song, isn't it? Ujaladaga pata gaurava bange matala sadhujana means the ordinary people think vishayarange, they are engaged in, the sadhus are engaged in worldly activities. So these are some principles of what is favorable. We will do now a little well-deserved pause. Yeah. I thought to make a pause of 15 minutes, if this is all right with you. After this we will sing two very nice songs, first one song and then a little later a second song, about things which are favorable. But the second section this morning will be the favorable workshop, where you will work on favorable things in your Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. I'll see you at 11:30. Hare Krishna.
Maybe again start from Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu. Sorry. Activities of preparing for that which is favorable in your life, you adopt these things. See, there is a certain magic in adopting spiritual principles in the life. The magic is that these principles which you adopt in your life carry their own potency with them. There is a very interesting story which Shiva Goswami tells, I believe in Bhakti Sandarbha, but I'm not sure, it's in one of the six Sandarbhas, which explains the self, the inherent potency which devotional activities have. Even though you may not know about these devotional activities in details, if you perform them, they will color your consciousness and make you a devotee. The story goes like this. It's about a rat who comes to the altar and sees how one of the lambs with a gibbick has become extinguished. So the rat thinks this wick, which is yellow like cheese, is a piece of cheese, and carefully looks left and right, and then runs on the altar to eat that piece of apparent cheese. The gibbick, however, by the attack of the guest, the rat, becomes slightly turned in the ghee, so that it can again catch fire. There was still a little fire, but it was not visible for the rat, and starts to burn. The rat is totally shocked and withdraws the head, but the teeth have already become sunk in the gibbick, and when the rat withdraws, she also brings the gibbick with herself. So she's so shocked that she wants to get rid of the fire and turns the fire, the head around, performing neophyte arati. She didn't say the mantras properly and perform the mudras. So as a result, she takes on her four-armed form and goes to Vaikuntha. This is an example which is given to highlight the potency which lies there in devotional activities. So you just do the devotional activities and they will color you or influence you. I wish to now request you to kindly take 5 minutes, or maybe we will go to 7 minutes, we will see, and write down a list of activities. Please listen, don't write immediately. Write down a list of activities which you could realistically adopt to accept that which is favorable for developing Krishna Bhakti in your life. Obviously, you could write the activities which you are doing already. For instance, you could say chanting Hare Krishna, but they should be a little bit more, more improved. I believe it was Jai Govinda Prabhu who hinted to us one of these days. It's very, very distant in my memory, but that he could chant better rounds. There was something like this. And yesterday, in the question and answer session in the temple room, a devotee asked, "How can I overcome my desert-like chanting, my dry chanting?" So when you write down the list of favorable things on your sheet of paper, you can definitely include things which you do already, but please write something you know which improves these activities, because I think you all feel like every one of us, we could improve our devotional practices, isn't it? We could accept more favorable things. Is the task set before you clear? And here I want to request you to write in such a way that some of the things which come up you can please share, because we can profit from each other's realizations very, very much. I very much enjoy hearing such a favorable list, because I'm sure there are a few items which I can also adopt starting immediately, you know, starting from today. So, Hare Krishna, let us see this extremely... one moment. Okay, the time is running. We will see what we have in 5 minutes and then see if we want to take more time.